Hey everyone, appreciate you tuning in. On this episode, we're going to be going back to our turkey camp that we had in Wisconsin last spring. So you're going to be listening to Bruce Hall, Dylan Hazen, Ted Zangerle, Nick Andrews, Jake Hipschman, and myself. And we're going to be talking about our best miss stories. We were talking about misses around camp. So once season ended and we were recording podcasts, we just decided to have a conversation about our misses. The bad part about a miss is you don't get what you're shooting at, but the good thing is there's usually a lesson that comes along with every miss as well. And speaking of shooting, our friends over at Vortex just came out with a new eyewear line. They came out with sunglasses that are designed for the outdoor enthusiast, from hunting, shooting, and fishing to everything in between. They're really cool. They're like sunglasses that you can wear all the time, but they also double as eye protection. So you can wear them out and about while still getting all the protection that you would get out of work glasses. If you're interested in the glasses, you can get a deal by going over to vortexoptics.com and entering the code THP20 to save some dollars on your new favorite pair of sunglasses. Additionally, we've got a sale on our website right now where we've got things marked down up to 50% off. So if you've been eyeing anything on the website, now would be a great time to take advantage of those deals. Now, our best miss stories.
What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Thinking about this, sitting here right now.
What's next for you?
Oh, I'm going to go do a trap shoot on the June 2nd.
That's nice. That's something that I've been wanting to do a lot more of. Trap shoot, just gun shoot in general.
Yeah, I'm going to need to borrow a 12 gauge.
What about yours?
You looking at me?
Where's your new one at?
It's in Greg's hands.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So...
It's actually Greg's new shotgun.
Yeah. You ought to take that new one that gave Jake the black eye the other day.
Yeah,
we were patterning shotguns.
Just don't shoot a turkey load out of it. You'll be fine.
That's some pretty good footage on that
day.
Yeah,
holy cow. That
just patterning shotguns.
Patterning shotguns, cornrows.
Yeah, cornrows and patterning shotguns.
We got one of the three patterned.
Yeah. Yeah. But we watched you get rocked.
Yeah, that was probably.
We had the one pattern pretty good, and then the next adjustment was from here to, like, over here.
I shouldn't be in charge of adjusting a red dot sight. I'd never touched one before in my life, and Jake just gives me the Allen wrench. He's like, yeah, just move it, however, whatever. It's like, okay, so I just start cranking on it, and next thing you know, it's hitting 4 foot in front of the target.
Ted just completely missed it. Yeah. Yeah. We're like getting it close, and then the next shot's just there's no BBs on the whole target. It's like,
all right, well, that's not right.
Okay, so that one's not good.
I was thinking about that. I've never actually patterned a shotgun with a red dot. The only patterning of a shotgun I've ever done is put the shell in, put the bead on it, and make
squeeze
sure that it still, in fact, does shoot and hit the target.
Yep.
But past that, I've never had to actually sight in. Turkey gun.
Seems like the best way to do it is like that one. You can see the bead on it, so I just laid it on something where, you know, it was on something 30 yards away. You move the dot as close as you can, then shoot whatever the cheapest rounds out of it you can just to get it close at 20 yards, and then that's when you start shooting your turkey loads. I guess we were shooting duck loads before that, but don't be shooting turkey loads the whole time just because you can get it close without it.
And that's the one thing that I've always thought is like, why mess around, especially just getting your red dot on paper. Why mess around with a, you know, $100 shotgun gel?
Yep.
Exaggerating, but
not by much.
I've never shot TSS. You know, I haven't made that transition yet. Mm-hmm. I know that it has to happen for a couple of reasons. One is I do think that, you know, shooting tungsten versus lead is better. And the other thing is availability. Like, there's just not what there used to be for non-TSS turkey loads anymore. I was there for a couple of years, I literally didn't find any, and luckily that not that many people in Colorado hunt, or they just have a bigger selection at the Cabela's there, but I found some. But like, all you can find these days is TSS.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Really don't have another option, so I'm gonna have to make that transition. The other thing is I'm comfortable with my pattern. We were talking about that the other day. I know my pattern at like 35 yards isn't so tight that I have to be real precise. I definitely have confidence in a little bit wider of a pattern and just taking closer shots than having that super tight pattern. freaks me out to think about shooting a turkey at 5 yards doing this with a pattern that's that big. It's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's the nice thing about the tungsten, though. It seems like when you get the right choke tube, you can have that, you know, basketball size pattern at 20 yards, and then it'll carry out to
it's very
infinity.
Consistent. Yeah.
I mean, as far as you, any of us in here would want to shoot a turkey, for sure.
I feel like I'm in that boat where I just can't make the change, and I'm hesitant to do it. I even have been talking about for the last year to put a little red dot on my gun, but after holding Bruce's gun, I think that I'm going to make that transition here.
Well, and I was still tinkering with lead a couple,
you
even
have
just
a Youth 870.
Yeah, a little Remington Youth 870. That's a sweet shooting little gun. And even just a couple years ago, I was still tinkering around with lead number sixes. I can't tell you how many turkeys that I killed with copper plated number sixes over the years. And there was nothing wrong with the load. I mean, you shoot the turkey at an ethical range, you know, not through a bunch of brush and stuff like that. If he's standing, you know, in a good spot to kill him, never had any issue out of it for all the years that I shot it. But I will say the availability for the tungsten, like you said, it's definitely easier to get a hold of it, depending on the season. You know, it can be seasonal. Sometimes they get really sold out during turkey season because there's so much of it being bought. But the pattern's about as efficient as you can get, you know, within, I mean, 40, 45 yards and in. It's pretty hard to beat. I mean, that pattern's going to be pretty devastating every
time.
Seems
like with anything you're trying to kill, the heavier it is, it's just going to knock the sheet out of them
more.
Yeah. You were talking about the waterfowl loads, too. It's just like, it's just more effective at killing stuff, and that's
important. I think for the most part, I mean, you hit a turkey 45 yards and in with, even these days with a 410 with a load of tungsten, if you hit the turkey, more than likely it's going to roll him, and even if it's not just an instant, you know,
I mean, insert
kill,
to put
you
it
may
in
get
crystal,
to him and
shooting that bird the other day at like 39, 40 yards with a 410. I mean, most of the pattern hit right above his beard. Like, there was a couple BBs in his head, but she shoots him. He does backflip. Next thing you know, he's running towards the fence line, and I've never seen it before. Like, usually in that situation, the turkey's got its head up when you get up to it. And, like, we run up there within 15 seconds, and the thing just laying dead in the fence line.
Yep.
Like, that tungsten, I think, just, I mean, I know it did because I opened it up, but it penetrated and actually, like, went through his heart and lungs and stuff like that. Which, even if you did hit him in the breast, that tungsten will just pass right through, so you're not having to pick out BBs as much, it seems like.
Yeah, I always feel like shooting a lighter, older turkey load, like a 6-shot or 5-shot, I feel like those just hit whatever they're going to, and they just kind of lose momentum, where it does seem different about the tungsten, which I think there's pros and cons of that. I think there's a value in picking your hole for what you're going to make that shot through, and that's something that I was talking with Whitney about when we were talking about different situations, is think about picking that exact hole where you can see daylight on the turkey. You know, you just picking that very specific spot where you get the most clear shot. But missing turkeys is also just a topic that we talked about the other day that I think is a fun thing to talk about, because there's so many lessons you can learn from every miss. And the story that I told was, I feel like, pretty relatable to a lot of misses that we all make, is turkey's coming in, everything's looking really good, and all of a sudden he starts to dart. And that catches you off guard a lot of times because you're anticipating that next hole. Well, all of a sudden, he starts to go the other direction. You make this last-minute decision like, oh, I got to get him, and I'm going to pull it. And you almost don't even consciously make that decision. It just happens instinctive. But almost every time I miss a turkey, it's a situation where I force a shot. Again, not necessarily thinking to myself, like, I got to make this happen. It just kind of happens. But I'm shooting through too much stuff on the way to him. And I just think that, not that I'm trying to prevent that with tungsten at all. I'm just saying I need to prevent that in general. I need to just make the decision to not go ahead and pull the trigger in that situation. But in general, I always am curious, like, what's everybody's last, what's a good memory somebody has of, like, what I did wrong when I pulled the trigger and missed that turkey? Because I think that you can always learn from that. I guess I'll use one other example that I don't think we've ever shown on video, is that Oregon that I missed the turkey. Make a long story short, because I could draw this out if y'all wanted, but this turkey is in this terrain feature that is kind of a bunch of fingers coming together, and there's one real long finger that he goes out on, and we just kept working our way out. I was with Cody and Noah from Born and Raised, and we were taking that finger out. Every time we hear him, it was like, I really think he's out on that finger. So we're also trying to catch a flight type of deal. So I'm pushing pretty aggressive and get to the end of that ridge, and I pop up on the backside of a tree. And I'm standing there looking around thinking, well, this is kind of the end of the road. He's gone. And I look down, and there he is. And he's standing there looking. And I slowly ease the gun up, and I'm shooting a shorter shotgun. It's lightweight, but I had no rest. Like, I was kind of left shoulder against the tree, but I wasn't on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a GoPro clip back, because all I got of it on video, I kind of said, you know, we're just going to get this one at all costs. I have this GoPro on my shoulder, and I held the gun tight to the trigger guard, I guess, with my left hand. I pulled the trigger, and I'm assuming what I did was, because I remember having the bead on it, but I would assume what I did was pulled it and dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's another common mistake, is just not following through. You guys have any other experiences?
Crystal does that about every time she shoots at a turkey. I'm going to have to tell her to just start holding on his snoot or something.
Let it drift down. Okay. I think that's part of what I did with Bruce the other day, that one I missed. I leaned around. Didn't even need to. I was forcing the situation when the turkeys are clearly coming and going to continue to come and give me two more steps, and I'd have had a completely blocked shot at all. And I wouldn't have had to move anything. But instead, he was on the bird already, and I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and shoot him. So I leaned around a bush to get a clear shot at this bird. And so you're sitting down, and you're already leaning over, you know, over the shotgun, and it's just pushing your barrel down, I feel like, and it's a 35, 40-yard shot, and that small movement gets really blown up.
Amplified,
yeah, on that. So you go back and watch the footage, all the pattern just hits low and right of him instead of right in his head.
Mm-hmm. I think I've missed the most turkeys recently just by not leading them when they are fleeing like that. If you're gonna shoot at, like, I'm thinking about that one in Indiana when we're on an open field, and Greg and Ted are both sitting behind me with cameras, and this thing periscopes up. I'm like, are you on him? It's like, you stand in the middle of a wide open field. We got two cameras there. Surely,
I filmed it for the last hour coming across it.
I should have just shot, you know, not even asked. And then by the time I make the decision to shoot at him, he had already started like running.
Oh, he was moving.
And I hadn't rabbit hunted or fowl hunted in, you know, probably in a long time, or at least that year. So I just put it right on him, and he's, what was he, 25 yards, probably 30 yards?
Going away, though.
So going hard left, and I just put it right on him, and Greg had him filmed in slow motion, and that's pretty good representation of how much you need to lead him, because I was probably, you know, close to right on his head, and it just, all the whole pattern just goes, like, right behind him.
I almost missed one in West Virginia with Keith, because it was coming towards us the whole way it was gobbling, but then at the last minute it started to cut around to where it could see over the ridge, but you couldn't see its full body. So it's just kind of going down through there, and I'm following him, and he's going to my weak side, my right side, and I'm trying to follow him, and I shoot, and you can watch the pattern. My right side of the pattern hits his left side of his head, you know, it's like all back here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it just barely got it. So that was another example of thinking, man, I gotta lead more. I just think that practice is something that I just keep talking about. Getting back into shooting trap, clinking around with 22s, just shooting guns.
Nice thing around here is there's just pigeons everywhere. Like, any farmers will let you go shoot them. So it's like, I can just take the dog and go a mile down the road and work with her on stuff and have fun shooting that stuff. I think that'd be a fun summer activity, is just get some robo ducks out in front of us, or even invest in one of those little dove decoys.
Mojo dove.
You could wear some pigeons out around here, I would think.
Well, call me when you're going to do that. I'll fly up for it.
You take for granted some of those little things that you do when you're younger. So,
like rabbit hunting a bunch too during the winter, which we've done
quite a bit
of the last couple of years.
I think just, you know, one of the biggest things about just shooting in general is just your target acquisition. Just, mm-hmm. it becomes muscle memory, mm-hmm. and you're more on track, because I wish I had a bunch of stories of me shooting at fleeing turkeys and missing. And I do or I have shot at my fair share of fleeing turkeys and missing, but as far as I know, I miss more turkeys standing in the middle of the wide open, just, you know, complete slam dunk, sliding 25 yards, and I'll just straight whiff him. And I really don't know what I do to. I mean, it's
deserve that.
It kind of makes you wonder how in the hell do you? How have I killed any turkeys?
Yeah.
I'm shooting like that because a lot of the other shots I've taken are, you know, his head comes through a gap and I cluck and he, you know, a gap that wide through timber or something, and it makes you wonder how you hit any of them shots. Yeah. When you miss one in a field just standing there.
I get it.
My first time hunting with Bruce, two springs ago now. Whipped a turkey first morning, and then this year again. It was like we were talking, it was like deja vu.
Yeah.
This whole trip around, like a lot of the same things happen.
Yep.
You missed that turkey, and I just started laughing, and you didn't get mad at me.
So. Right. I've become numb to it.
Disbelief.
I could probably be in the running for, you know, possibly the first person to have a super slam of misses. I'm well on track.
How many different states you figure you missed?
I bet I've missed in at least 15 states, if not 20. Yeah, I've missed in a pile. And now I've killed in some of those states that I have also missed in, but there's some that...
Like, the miss is what's going to make you go back.
New Hampshire, for example, I've missed 3 turkeys in New Hampshire, never touched one. Never have put my hands on one, so it's going to be sweet when I finally do pull the trigger and go out there and pick up a gobbler in New Hampshire. It's not going to happen this year, so.
I mean, what are some of the things that you think that you are doing wrong? Because, like, certainly you're going back and you're replaying these in your mind.
Dude, I black out.
Yeah.
Like, when it happens, when it gets to that moment, when he's 25 yards and comes out of strut and that head goes up, and I mean, I remember everything, and it feels like that last 2 seconds is 30 seconds worth of memory, but I just black out, and I really couldn't tell you how hard I'm obviously yanking the gun, because mm-hmm. with the gun that I'm missing turkeys with, you pretty much have to aim at a different zip code to miss him with it. I mean, I'm just flat out whiffing them, and I mean, if you hit them with that, you shoot them with number 9s or 7.5, whatever tungsten you may be shooting, and I'm shooting tungsten. If you hit them with that at 25 yards, there's no doubt what you just did. I mean, he's not going to fly off like he's doing, or run off even. He's going to be on the ground flopping or not moving at all. So I couldn't tell you what I'm doing, but I'm completely whiffing him with a really nice pattern that's, you know, bigger than I'd like to claim. I'd like to tell you that I'm shooting a little pattern like that, and dang it, I just ain't on one.
That's what I miss the most turkeys with by far is, like, I never even really had my own shotgun. I just kind of borrowed whoever's, and Zimmy had one set up where it's, you know, at 20 yards, it's like softball size, and that's by far the shotgun I've missed the most turkeys with. It's like, we got to get it set up where if they hang up in the field, you know, which has shifted a little bit now, but it's like I missed so many turkeys with that gun that got, you know, within 15 or 20 yards, and if they're moving their head at all, it's hard to...
It's too tight because you're throwing a nickel out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's that big. I think I missed the most. I mean, the one I missed was Bruce the other day. That was an exception of the, like, what, how I missed. I usually miss high because I'll get too caught up.
He's missed high both the times I've been with you. It's kind of nice to have the footage to know a little bit of what you did, because you said you held on his eye. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
But you said you were holding too high to begin with.
Yeah.
And then in the footage, like I got his barrel in the frame with the turkey, and like at the very last frame, it just goes up just a little bit up and left.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty interesting because I feel like you said, most people's tendency, including yours, mm-hmm. it sounds like, is to go down, or you said
no, high. I'm to miss high. So really? Missing low the other day was like abnormal for me to shoot low. Because I guess when I'm waiting on a bird to come in, you know, I'm in the gun and I just have my head up just slightly so I can see over the barrel just enough, and it's just a small move to get back down into the gun. So like when I killed that one the other day with you and Bruce, mm-hmm. I was having a hard time, or I was kept telling myself over and over, it's like, as soon as you get on him, just bury your head back down in the gun. Uh-huh. That way you don't shoot high, because if I don't talk myself through that, I'll leave my head off of it. Even if it's like my cheek or my jaw still touching the buttstock, I'm not in the gun enough, so you're, when it's, you know, blown out of proportion down range, you know, you think you're that much above the bird, but you're actually, you know, 2 foot above him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of think maybe, I think maybe what I did with that shot a couple weeks ago was, when I did the same thing. He kind of stopped on his own, and I think he knew the gig was up, so I really needed to shoot right then.
We weren't even in a setup.
No, we were just sitting in the edge of the grass, so when he came around the corner, it was like do or die right then, kind of hope he's in range, which he was, and all that. And when I leaned down, I think instead of taking my head to the gun, I think the very last, I mean, just a teeny tiny little bit, I just brought the gun up, and it looked like I was where I needed to be, but I should have had my head tucked further back and down, and instead, we're talking just that much, just to get it right. But, I 25 or 30 yards, however far the turkey was, it was probably that much up above him, and that's all she wrote.
One of the things that I struggle with my 20 gauge is because it's a youth model, when I naturally shoulder a gun, especially a shotgun, my eyes are generally pretty level to the horizon, I think. But with that gun, when I do that,
like squint your neck
forward. Yeah, I have to slide my head back on the gun to get to that point. So if I don't, and I think this has helped me, but also can hurt me, I have to get ultra focused on lining those two beads up. And I'm lucky that my gun even has that, because if I didn't have two beads, I'd miss high a lot, because I wouldn't get that all the way down on the gun. Your gun is an 870 with one bead, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that would be a problem.
So the one thing, like the last three birds that I've shot them with Mike's 20 gauges, and that's the first time I've ever used a red dot. And the one thing that he taught me when he was teaching the boys,
he patterns all his shotguns. For if you're listening to the audio, it's on the bubbles. Well, the kids call them the bubbles, the waddles. But so if you have the dot right here, the center of the pattern is actually hitting here, but because you're aiming at this, you're only aiming at, you're not trying to follow this, because your pattern is still going to consistently hit right above it. And I think that helps a lot too. And like with my bead, I grew up where if I was down on it and it's flat, and then you just have your bead, I would just barely see the turkey's, like, basically his eyeball right over the top of it. When I'm shooting that red dot, it's so nice, because like you can see everything else around it, and you're not like buried down into where that's the only thing you see. And that helps me out a lot, like, for whatever reason, I don't know. You don't have to, with those red dots, as long as the bead's on them, that's where it's going to hit, or it should, because it doesn't have a parallax or whatever they call it. So,
and that's a huge advantage. But I also think that it makes you less versatile when it comes to picking up a shotgun. Like, for example, if you pick up my shotgun with the bead, like, you've shot turkeys with that. I don't know if you ever have, but you've shot several with it. So I feel confident that you know what to do there, but it's like, if I'm with somebody else that's never shot that gun, I'm just like, make sure you line those two beads up. Just make sure you do that, because we're all too big for that gun. Mm-hmm. So when you go to shoulder it, you're too far forward.
Yeah, you almost got
to
put the butt of it like right up here and just be ready for it to give you a little punch.
And that's another thing I was going to bring up too. I think that I just eat the gun, and it happens to both Orb and I almost every shot. Same gun. His is just not the youth model. That big goose egg right here. Mm. When I'm down on that gun the way that I need to be, I mean, it wallops me, but I just have found a way to shut my brain off. But I think going back to that practice, you know, when you go shoot trap, or I shot a lot of groundhogs, a squirrel hunted, rabbit hunted, me and my buddies would bet just stupid little $5, $1 bets when I was in high school, and just shoot those spinner targets with 22s. And then, you know, 20-yard shots turn into 60 to 80 to, you know, freehand and 80 yards with the 22 and try to hit the spinner that's that big. Like, that stuff, I think, are things that I didn't realize helped me as much as they did until I wasn't doing them as much anymore. And then I'm like, man, if I want to keep up with my practice, I gotta start doing that stuff again. So any excuse you get to practice with a firearm, I think, is gonna be good for you as far as applying that to hunting. But yeah, I mean, with this turkey gun, you gotta just let that puppy just let it eat you alive, you know? You gotta kind of love it.
Yeah. It's crazy how much more recoil a turkey load packs than just a regular, number eight, low brass. I mean.
But practicing with that is important, I think. Like, If you're gonna practice, it doesn't matter how experienced you are, adult versus kid or whatever, just shoot the lighter load, create the good quality form and habits. And then when you're hunting, you know that when you pull the trigger, you're going to protrude it just.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if you're not shooting a red dot, as long as you know the, like if you're shooting off a bead, if that thing's patterned, you probably, after shooting it the first time and knowing what the pattern is, there's no real reason to shoot turkey loads because you're probably just going to scare yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't feel it when you shoot at a turkey, but if you're just shooting at, like that was not enjoyable what we did the other day, just shooting at targets with it. It's like you felt it way more than you ever do shooting at a turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been, this leading up turkey season, I got like several boxes of just target loads for 28, and I just sat out in the yard and shot a still target, but I was just trying to practice squeezing through the trigger with those things.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that's helped me this year is focusing on talking myself through the shot, which is what Jake sent me a podcast from Joel Turner.
Here I go.
Yeah, here I go. That's where that's come from. And he just talks about talking yourself through the whole shot. So that's what I've been trying to focus on all spring.
So what's your progression then? Like, what do you say to yourself? And like,
usually I say, calm down.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I say. If I know a turkey's about to start coming in, I just say, calm down. Just keep saying it. Keep saying it. And I mean, it definitely helps. It has definitely helped me a lot this year. And I just am like, I'll start saying calm down and focus and keep your head down and all that stuff the whole time when one's coming in.
Trying not to let the situation just completely take over your mind. I mean, it's going to happen at some point, but if you could be saying stuff as, you know, you realize the turkey's coming in.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's what, like the one, so I missed a turkey in Mississippi this year, and going into the hunt, I was like not real focused on what was going on because we weren't on much for like a week there, and I was getting frustrated. I was just like,
oh, you're ready to go to Texas.
It was time to check out.
We're in a Texas mindset.
And I was like just not focused at all on what was going on, and all of a sudden, we're sitting there for like an hour, and all of a sudden, Nick and Ward can hear these turkeys like walking in.
And you didn't hear
it? I can't hear it. So I'm just like, you know, they're like, something's coming. So I'm like looking, and all of a sudden, two freaking gobblers pop up right there at like 20 yards, walking right at us. And I just remember getting the gun up and trying to get on them, but I just wasn't focused on what the hell I was doing at all. And I remember seeing the red dot go off to the left of his head, and that's when I shot the gun off. And I was just like, oh my God, that was so stupid. But that one, I could remember. I could actually remember where the freaking red dot was. And that's the first time that's ever happened, I think, where I was like, I shot at a turkey and actually knew where I was aiming when I shot, because usually it's just like a fog.
But I think that's good. That's like, that's probably a huge step in the right direction.
For sure. Yeah.
You got to start working on that.
and sometimes it works out really well, like the turkey I killed by myself the other morning. I was in the situation for so long. I mean, I had turkeys so close to me for the better part of an hour. I mean, I was sitting there for probably better than, you know, close to 40 minutes with the safety off, just waiting on this turkey's head to pop up any second right there.
Pull this up a smidge.
My close-up vision ain't that good. All of it's kind of starting to go.
Maybe that's why your beads are doing this.
I've actually definitely got to go get my eyes checked out. That's something I noticed in the last 5 years or so. My vision has definitely gotten worse. Like when I'm riding down the road now, you see the Love's truck stop billboard, and I can tell you what the regular gasoline price is, but those green numbers, it's just one blob of green, and I literally cannot see it until I'm up underneath it pretty much, which didn't used to be like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to could see, I was eagle eyes, not anymore. So I got a feeling that some of the misses I could possibly blame on that. But no excuses. I mean, I'm not that blind. But I can't really blame it on anything. But I had long enough to sit there and just hyperventilate the other morning, which I did for quite a while. Like I was, you know, one step shy of a heart attack for quite a while the other morning. I had hens just right next to me scratching and yelping and everything you can think of while this gobbler's, you know, coming down the pipe. And he'd hang up for a while, and then he'd gobble, and you could tell he'd getting closer. And I had time to actually, like, calm down in that scenario to where a lot of turkey hunts can be, you know, you strike a turkey, and within a few minutes, he's in your lap. I just can't calm down that quick. I mean, I'm...
That's why I do it, I guess. I can't calm down. I can't get a hold of reality right there and just like breathe. There is no breathing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that sometimes turkeys actually do see me breathe. Like I'm sure that's what they see, because if I don't move a muscle and a hen walks up beside me and just starts putting, I mean, I know their vision's really, really good, but come on now. I'm sitting in a great spot. She sees me over there, you know, and there's no doubt about it. And I can't help it. And in those scenarios, I just try and make sure he's in a good spot to shoot him and hold true. And, I mean, that's one thing I do like about that red dot is I can really bury that thing right there at the end of the black in the wattles. I trust my pattern. So that's what I try and do. I try and just... Right there at the shot, I'll have the gun tight and I'll squeeze the trigger, and most of the time it works. So this year's been much better. I've missed 50% less turkeys this year than I did last year, so that's a step in the right direction,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, definitely.
I've missed 4 turkeys. 2 of them were fleeing quickly, and I shouldn't have even shot. So I'm kind of almost not even counting them as like technical. I mean, the other 2 turkeys I missed are just flat out misses. Like standing one in North Dakota, so you can. He was in thick woods. Yeah, I missed him standing out there just head tall at like 30 yards, and then the one in Wisconsin standing in the middle of a dirt field. So those are two pretty sorry whiffs right there. But that's better than the 9 turkeys I missed last year. Mm-hmm. That's pretty.
We got to Michigan last year, and Catman was trying to argue with Bruce about who would miss more turkeys, and Bruce was just like, I don't know if you want this is the one you're gonna win.
I had a problem.
I think that we're getting some rain.
Are we actually?
Rain. I mean,
I gotta put my windows up.
Well, get out.
Since the 8th.
Where were we? Do we know?
We decided in the garage we're gonna just wrap it up with everybody's most memorable miss.
Okay. And just do a different thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Different topic.
Yeah, that's fine with me. All right.
So what's your most memorable miss?
I think honestly, I was in Kentucky 3 or 4 years ago, and it was my last day there. And
is this during the Marine time, or is this
No, this is post. Okay. Post. This is when I was, I guess, my first year back in college.
So you're getting a little more time to hunt.
Yeah, I get a little more time to hunt. And I'd been in Kentucky for like 4 or 5 days. Had killed a bird, was working on the second one, and had also already missed like 2 up to this point in the trip. But like Bruce was talking about earlier, there were fleeting shots. It was just kind of shots you shouldn't take, but you know, you get caught up the moment you do anyways. On the last day, I decided, I was like, I'm staying till dark. It's a 12-hour drive home, but I'm staying till dark. Don't care. And I'll just drive the 12 hours afterwards.
That's one of those situations where you look yourself in the mirror that morning and you say, I think we should push it, dude.
Yeah. And so we're pushing it. And at like 5 or 6 in the evening, me and my buddy strike this bird, get over there on him, and we pull him out of this pasture, and we're sitting in a big stand of pines that's pretty thick. Like the ground cover isn't real thick, but it's just a lot of like,
trees.
Just big-ass trees. So, and that turkey was the first one I'd ever shot at in timber like that. Because growing up hunting in Texas, at that point, I'd only killed like 2 turkeys outside of Texas, and both of them were in Kentucky in fields. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first one I ever shooting at a turkey in timber. I remember looking at, you know, down my barrel as he's about to come out of his pasture. I'm going, how in the hell am I going to do this? When he comes zipping through there, it's like, how am I going to pick that shot? And so he's coming, he's like 25 yards, figures out what I am. So he turns and starts kind of going through, and I had a perfect hole. And right when he steps through it, I froze. And he goes out of the hole, and I shot a tree right where he had been standing. Like, I knew he was out of the hole, and I just freaked out and pulled the trigger. And my buddy thought he was dead for sure, and I just sat there. I was like, I don't know. I just kind of, the moment got too big. I don't know what happened. Uh-huh. It just got away from me. Because that shooting hunt, or... shooting at turkeys in timber like that for the first time is intimidating. I mean, when you're having to pick that hole, and so it definitely
it
got
still kind of is.
Yeah. So that's probably my most memorable miss.
Mine probably happened with old Hunter Borchardt, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he filmed the whole thing.
Good.
We struck him right off of the highway that we've been driving down a bunch, where I dropped you guys off the other day. When they started clearing out that whole fence line, they had a big stack of where the trees were. And there was some, I think there's 2 or 3 longbeards with a bunch of hens strutting on the other side of it. So we just got up, you know, 100 yards away from them, and we had a hen decoy and a Jake decoy set up like behind us. I was trying to bow kill one, and Hunter starts calling at these things, and the hens are just going crazy. The longbeards are gobbling their asses off, and eventually he just pulls them, you know, right around this little point. They're seeing the decoys behind us, and you can hear them gobbling and drumming. So I draw back, and they come around and, you know, just peg us right when, and they're like 5-10 yards away. And the one pegs me, so I was trying to shoot him in the head because that was the only thing I could see. I think I just had like a rage broadhead or something. And there's one branch that runs like horizontal, and the arrow just hits that and deflects wherever. I might have missed him anyway, but they go running off. They don't really know what happened. They're maybe 25 yards. I grab another arrow, and you can tell the broadhead was open on that one because it's rattling all around when I knock it. And I shoot, and I remember it just going boom right into like right at his feet. And those things go running off, and I probably had more of a tendency to get pretty upset during that time in my life, and especially with Hunter being back there talking. He's just like, "How'd you miss, dude?" I'm just like, cut that camera off. It's not what I said, but I said something that, you know, there's an extra word in there. And that was the end of the clip. But that was I think about that one quite a bit. It's pretty funny. Bruce, pretty funny now.
I've got quite the library to go through and pick from, but probably the most memorable miss came in New Hampshire. First time I ever hunted the state of New Hampshire.
And this is one of three in the state.
Yeah, well, this is actually going to be, we'll get to the real good part here soon.
So this is a saga then.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a quick enough story, but all the details are kind of necessary to just how awesome it was and then how bad I messed it up. Terrible. So I pull up in New Hampshire at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, 12 o'clock cutoff, can't hunt. Pull up to the first gate I've ever pulled up to in the state of New Hampshire. There's two longbeards standing right there at it. And I'm like, nothing to New Hampshire. Yeah, I mean, just camp out around here, roost them, and kill one in the morning, and we'll be headed right on up the road again in no time. So, you know, everything goes to plan. There just conveniently was a camping spot like 300 yards from where I saw them. So set up there. Roosted them, of course. Got up the next morning, got in there. I actually made a terrible setup, just terrible, but was able to yelp the whole flock to me eventually. And I mean, they put on the whole show. Both of them came in there strutting and drumming. And I was shooting that little single shot 410, and I really don't know why I had that gun that morning. I think I had been missing so much with the other two that I just said, I mean, this is the only gun that I haven't missed with this year, so let me try it. Well, I went on ahead and scratched that off too, and missed one with it at like 30 yards. Well, they didn't even break strut. They gobbled at the shot, and then the shell was lodged. It didn't, when I breached it open, it didn't kick the shell out. It was like hard locked in there, sealed in there. So I'm sitting here with turkey strutting in gun range of me with more shells in my pocket, but I can't do anything about it. So I have to let the turkey strut off. Ended up having to walk back to the truck a pretty good ways. Went back, got another gun, turned around, struck the turkeys again. It's probably half a mile, 3/4 of a mile walk there and back. So got back in there, struck the turkeys again. They were already starting to go up a pretty steep mountain. So looped around them, got in front of them, caught them back up and whiffed them again with a different gun. So that was two in the same morning, like had two turkeys whiffed by 8 o'clock in a state I've never hunted before. I was hurting, and I had a serious climb. Like I was borderline killing myself trying to get up that mountain that they were going to the top of. I was trying to get in front of them, and I did, and it worked perfect. I mean, missed him shooting straight downhill. Just should have smashed him. I had no clue what I did, but that was pretty much the end of New Hampshire. And I know at that point in time, I was not happy. It's a good thing nobody was with me, because I'd have probably said mean things to them for no reason.
I mean, it's one of the interesting things about major failure when hunting is that you can get unnecessarily angry and just take it out on anything and everything that gets in the way. Like, it's one thing that I don't like about myself is that I can just get unnecessarily mad at my friends and people I really care about. I can just be totally mean, and it's just because I'm mad at myself, and it's like, yeah, sometimes it's probably better to miss alone.
Yeah, well, and it goes along with the whole thing. I mean, sometimes you can have a really, really hard time. So when the freebies kind of, or you know, that when they, when the free shots get handed to you, man, you got to take them, and you got to, I'm not saying you got to, because you're obviously going to miss some of them, but those hurt just as bad as any of them, I think, because it's like, man, I was just given this turkey. I all but had him, could have reached out and grabbed him, and I just couldn't pull the shot off. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, everything hard that was supposed to be hard about this, we just bypassed all that, and I just have to pull the trigger and be, you know, fairly accurate. I don't even have to be precise. I just have to be kind of accurate. And I can't even do that. Yeah.
The wonderful thing about a scatter gun is you don't have to be precise.
Yeah, that's very true. B?
One miss that I have that sticks out the most is it's a deer in rifle season. It was opening day of Wisconsin rifle season, and I think it was the year that I dislocated my hip in high school because I couldn't really hunt. I could squirrel hunt a little bit before that, but wasn't really doing much else. And trail cams, we had this one buck on our property that it was a really, really wide short rack 10 pointer, and see him pretty frequently, but like back then I didn't really run cameras to like actually hunt with him. I just liked to see what was out there. And so get in my stand. For whatever reason, I think it has something to do with the thermals on our place. At 9 o'clock, where I usually sit for gun season, that stand usually gets really good around that time. Mm-hmm. And a doe and a couple yearlings came down the hill, and I piled her like the first. So there's this like little logging rail that wraps around from my stand. I sit in the ground, a little brush blind, and there's a hump, and I could see like the tops of their bodies coming, but I couldn't see any vitals. So she wrapped around the corner and was quartered to me and saw me right away, and I was already on her and shot her. And
she said, it's rut. That's a doe.
I said,
I'm not seeing what's behind her.
Done. Yeah. And she ran back up the other way and died like 20 yards, and I was like, yeah, sweet, you know, whatever. And go up there, grab her, drag her down, gut her in the ditch, and just left her there splayed out to cool. And I'm feeling myself, having a little hot chocolate, and like 2 hours go by. I think it was like 11:30, and I can't remember if I heard something or if I just looked like this, and that 10-pointer was trotting, like fast trot, nose to the ground, coming down that doe and yearling's exact trail, I'm sure smelling her. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that was going through my head was like, he's gonna smell where you walked up there. Why did you shoot? You're an idiot. Like just over and over. And then so I'm like, all right, well, I'm gonna try to like just be on him and just see. And sure enough, he gets to where she died and his head, I can just remember seeing his rack pop up like this and he started looking around and then he just freaked out and bailed across his ditch. And I shot at him and just totally, like I knew if I would have just settled and let him, because he was going kind of straight up away from me.
He would have got to where he slowed down. It's easier.
Well, no, I think if they're running like straight away from you, it's easier to lead and when they're not going like right to left real hard, you know, or left, right, whatever. So anyway, I just like, and just shot, you know. And that's what we were saying earlier when like
one now you're going
yeah exactly exactly yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say earlier when we were talking about what do you do when you miss. Like if I know when I make a good shot, it's because like I sit there and I'm like, all right, think about your fundamentals, what are you doing. Whereas that one I was just totally like
swinging.
And like, so it's so
you're
stupid
it down, you're saying the obvious things to yourself, but yeah, those obvious things are really important.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah,
when I'm bow hunting I say settle the pin, aim low.
Mm-hmm.
Settle the pin, aim low. It's like stuff that doesn't seem that challenging, like settling the pin, but
when
if
I shoot,
don't settle the pin, you're probably not going to get it. You might almost guarantee you're not going
to. I don't. When I shoot, if I make a good shot, I always, whether it's a crosshair, a bead, a pin, whatever, it's always like I take that half second to like just burn it right into wherever I'm going to shoot. And while they're coming in, I'm thinking about like, make sure your rail's flat, or make sure that you're anchored where you usually anchor, like just whatever. And that one was just totally just whatever. And then it just made it worse because I shot, and, and then he goes up towards my dad, and I'm like, please let dad shoot him. And I hear boom, and I was like, that pure like little excitement. And then I hear, we have walkie-talkies, so whenever anybody shoots, we check in, and I hear, why in the bleep did you not let me know that thing was coming my way? And I was like,
you be on your toes.
Yeah. So that was a good little moment, but yeah, that's my most memorable one.
I can't just narrow down one, but I'll make two quick ones. First one is one that actually wasn't me, but was Ben, and I learned a lot from this. It was super close. calling this turkey all morning in Kentucky, and he comes up, and we finally get into this setup where everything is just telling us that he's going to end up right here, which is at point blank, but we've got this log in front of us, and we're both sitting really low because we don't have the best cover in the world, and I'm really surprised we got away with what we did. The only thing I can use to explain it is it was opening day, and, you know, it was probably that type of turkey that just hadn't really seen a whole lot in his life yet. And he comes in strutting, and we can see his tail fan over that log. Well, he's step by step just, and he had been doing that for the last, I don't know, 50, 60 yards coming in, where it's literally one step, you can hear him spit, drum, and then one step. And he's just inching in, and at this point, he's inside of 10 yards, and he was no joke, like 5 yards, but he's over this log, and he's still in full strut. And for people that haven't shot many turkeys, try to avoid it as almost at all costs shooting a strutting turkey, I think, unless it's just head-on, and you can really get it on him, but like a broadside strutting shot, which this was, and it was head-on. Strutting shots are tough, I think. So that's a little tip. But it's what I learned from this, I guess, is no matter what it looks like down your bead, and this is even more common with a red dot, no matter what it looks like on your bead, you still have to be conscious of your barrel. Mm-hmm. So always get a little bit higher up than what you think. So if you've got an opening that's vertical, go high in that opening to make sure you're definitely going to clear any low stuff. Because when Ben pulled the trigger, his bead was on the turkey's head, just plain as day. Like, you know, you could ask him right afterwards or to this day, oh yeah, 100% bead is on the turkey's head. But at that distance, everything is condensed down to 5 yards. His barrel was actually low enough that it hit the log. His entire pattern just got stuffed by that log. Ooh. And the turkey just flew away. And it's like, you know, it happens, and I have this hilarious clip of him in denial. He goes, I don't think I shot the log, but let's go see if I did. And it's like, you go back and watch it, and the log explodes. And I learned a lot from that shot, because I took it for granted, there's no way Ben's going to miss this turkey. But you really have to just get that, even just a couple inches sometimes is enough to make sure that you're just absolutely clear, and be generous with that, right? It's like, if you think you need an inch, go 2.
Yeah.
If you think you need 2, go 4. Just make sure you clear it. And that was just a funny one because we ended up, you know, having some really, really great hunts after that, so it wasn't a big deal at all. But opening day, everything goes right, and you get that gimme and such cool footage and everything, and whatever. The other one is one that I don't think we ever ended up making a video out of it that season, but it was with my dad and Brody. And this is, I guess, technically not a miss, but it was a shot that I definitely messed up. The turkey came in strutting. It was coming into our hard right, and he was about 35 yards. And they were moving quick. There was a pair of toms with a hen or a few hens or whatever. And once they set their mind to it, they were coming to roost, and they were coming to roost right where we were. And as they started to come up the ridge, they got on my weak side. And I started turning to the right and leaning. And this is another lesson that I've learned about shooting with my gun or two beads on a gun. With the red dot, it's different. You can just be on it, and your gun can kind of be at any angle. But with a bead, something that I've made the mistake of is leaning the gun. So even though the beads are still lined up, if they're not totally, up and down, then it can throw your shot off, especially as you get past 30 yards. And my memory is that in the last second, I centered the beads, but the gun was tilted slightly off to the right because I was leaning, and he was far enough that when I shot, the pattern hit low and hit him basically right around the beard, but not high enough up on the head to break his neck. And it shot me, went down, and jumped up and took off running, I think, or tried. He like kind of had the flying idea, but wasn't getting off the ground. And I immediately told Brody, something's wrong, and I jumped up and took off. And I just kept running down deer trails that were real muddy, and I would cut distance and listen. And every time I'd hear him kind of shuffling around, I'd
cut distance towards that, stop and listen, and I think by the third or fourth time, I caught back up with him, and he put his head up, and I just immediately popped one off and got him. But that was a really scary, that was scarier than missing one, because I thought I had just wounded a turkey and wasn't going to find him, which is a really big deal to me. I mean, I don't, that is, when turkey hunting, that is the absolute last thing that I want to happen.
I'd rather miss 10 in a row than wound one.
Because when you wound one, my belief is he's probably not going to recover from it in most situations.
I mean, they're tough. There's no doubt they're tough, and it's kind of surprising how many turkeys I end up killing that when I go to digging around in them and investigating.
Yeah.
How many of them have lead number fours in them, or steel pellets, buckshot, or buckshot, or
wasn't
whatever?
The one that you just shot the other day, didn't it have one in its breastbone?
One of them had one of those main turkeys.
Yeah.
Had some in his breast too, but it's a large percentage of them actually. I don't even know what kind of number to put on it, but quite a few times when I'm cleaning birds,
turkey in Michigan has a broadhead stuck in it.
Yeah.
I think that it's not just, obviously not to say that they can't survive. I just think that
he's gonna go tuck underneath a log, and he's not gonna fly up, and then a coyote's gonna get him that night.
Yeah.
Because he's probably, I think when you've got a wounded animal too, obviously when there's bodily fluids getting drug around, that smell is just so much easier for a predator to get a hold of, and they're going to go right to it.
And worse yet, a predator doesn't get him and he just can't eat, or he can't get to a food source or something, or whatever, he busts his beak. I mean, there's, and that's why I don't bow hunt him. Not to say that I won't, but I'm a little paranoid of putting one right through the legs of a turkey and him being able to get away from me and I can't find him or something. And that's
a shotgun sport for me.
Yeah, which, not to get down that argument necessarily, but, you know, if I can do my job correctly as the shooter, it's immediate, and that's what I want. And I think that, again, to just kind of take away lessons from these two examples I use, make sure your beard, even if your bead is clear, that the end of your barrel is not, and be even more conscious of that if you're using an elevated scope.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next lesson is just try to keep your gun, you know, what would be the word for that? Is it?
I mean, vertical.
Vertical.
I'd say, yeah.
Yeah. Just beads lined up, but don't be tilting it, because I know that's what happened on that one. I know I was leaning to my right, and I just kind of let the gun roll over, even though those beads were lined up, and I think I just made it kind of dive down. So anyway, those are the lessons that I got from it.
Mine that I'm going to share, I've got a lot of them. is the one in Mississippi that you and I were on.
Yep.
God, that one irks me. But Zach and I were on a bunch of turkeys in Mississippi. Got in close to them, they were gobbling a little bit right off the bat, but then they just basically went to drumming. It was a bunch of longbeards and hens just kind of floating around, and it was super fun. This is part of the reason it irks me, because it was such a cool hunt where we were just like following the drumming. We're crawling around, and every once in a while we can see him out there and all this stuff, and we're just following him through the woods. And I don't even think we got on him to kill him until it was like 11 o'clock probably. Mm-hmm. And we're crawling up here to this spot where we think they're going, and pretty soon this hen pops up, and then there's a long beard that's like right behind this log at like probably 15 yards or something. And I'm like pointing the gun over there, and he comes up in full strut, and all I can see is like this much of his head, but it was just bright blue and red, or blue and white. And I didn't shoot him right there. I just kind of hesitated and didn't shoot him. And then they start looping around this log, and they're kind of working away slightly, and they're all just like walking around. There's a bunch of turkeys mixed in there. Then eventually I pulled up and I got all worked up and just shot and whiffed. And they all took off flying. Didn't get any of them. But the one... the part of that irks me is, like, when he was coming up over that log, if I'd have just popped up a little bit and shot him, or if I'd have just called and got him to stick his head up, I could have just roasted him right there, 15 yards or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But that one kind of stays in my mind, because I just think about that situation over and over about, if that happens again, I'm going to do that different.
That's one of my favorite turkey hunts from the standpoint of not hearing the gobbles.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And at one point, even we had to basically leave them where we could see them up above us from our maybe our original setup, and we made this giant loop up and around them and just got right back on them and then just hung with them from there and then the miss. But, you know, again, you look back on it and it's, in the moment it was like, ooh, damn, that kind of sucks. But like, it was extremely memorable and learned a lot about hunting turkeys in that moment and then also the shooting, because the one thing that I remember from that is that he went like this right as you pulled the trigger. And if you watch that frame by frame, the shot hits just right behind him because he is moving. Mm-hmm. And to your point, if you call right there and just get him to stop, then that shot becomes so much easier. It just becomes immediately a stationary shot where he's extended. And he was kind of strutting even, wasn't he? Like, he was at least kind of walking with that, you know, I'm about to start strutting again demeanor. And when he went forward, that truly is one of my favorite, that's probably top five, top three maybe even, turkey hunts that were unsuccessful, but I love that hunt. I don't think they gobbled. I think the only time they gobbled was when that tree fell. I think we heard, so correct me if I'm wrong,
they gobbled when we were standing on the road, and then we went down there to them. And then they gobbled. But then the rest of the time it was just falling around.
My memory of it was we knew they were in the area because Warb coyote howled, I think, with you, like a mile up the road. He didn't even hear the birds gobble, and they gobbled right beside us. Mm-hmm. And we had found sign or something that told us they were in there, and that's why we were in there that evening. But it turns out they had flown up, and we just hadn't heard anything. Warb coyote howls up on the road just by chance. We hear him gobble to that. Go back in there the next morning, and my memory of it was just that the hens kind of made some regular old tree yelps. They all flew down, and then it was just literally hanging with the drumming the whole time. But either way, it doesn't matter. It was just so fun just because it's not your traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enough to keep you involved in a different way than.
And then all of a sudden, we honestly got to inside of probably 30 yards of all of them. All of a sudden, it was just like, oh, they're all right here.
And it's in the flop.
That was fun, man. What were you going to say, D?
Not to put you on the spot again, but can you talk about that Colorado situation from last year? Remember we talked about it last night? Because I wanted to ask you what was going through your mind last night, but we never really got around to that. You were with on that. Yeah, when you missed and then you freaked out.
Was it a turkey or deer?
This is probably my favorite, like, it was funny for anybody that didn't miss, but like, it was my favorite miss reaction I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, I get extremely pissed off. Like, way up there. Now we heard these birds off the road, had to climb up this steep, huge mountain to get up there to them, and I'm with Dylan and Jake and Warp. And eventually, you know, we're moving around on these turkeys, and eventually we pull them back in, and there was like the first one that popped up was the longbeard, and I'm like sitting there on him, but I didn't know if it was a longbeard or Jake's. I knew there was a bunch of Jakes of them, and so then he starts going to the left and all the Jakes pop up, so I'm like trying to keep track of him, and they're like walking like this.
They're all behind him for like the majority of the best shots. Like, they're just, you know, they're steady going to the left, and he's just got a bunch of other, like, his best shot was when he just came up and looked, but we weren't sure if it was a longbeard because they had just walked past us like right before that as a whole group. So like you said, he knew there's a bunch of Jakes in there.
And then so they're walking steady this way, and I just was trying to follow him and shot behind him, and I jumped up and took off to look. And he was gone over the hill. I thought maybe I'd get another shot because I could see him going through there. Well, I couldn't tell then, and they were over the hill. And I just started throwing everything down, and I'm like cussing myself the whole time. And I'm just like beating the ground like this, and I mean just throwing a tantrum, which I do often when I miss turkeys. I get really pissed. And yeah, that went on for about 10 minutes or so, and then I just kind of slowly came back down. Yeah. I kind of got to get all that out of me right off the bat. Which this year I told Jake before the season. I said if I miss turkey, I'm not going to get mad. Which I did get mad for a little bit. Not like I usually do.
You didn't freak out in Mississippi.
Yeah, not bad. No. Myself in the head once.
You did do that, and I was like, all right, I did. But then it was fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, you gotta. It's okay to get mad. Like, I mean, not to say that you're wrong for deciding on you're gonna try to stay relaxed, but like, what happens for me, and I think this is something that I always try to tell friends and stuff too, is like, people will be like, oh, you're just always so positive. It's like, yeah, I'll be positive a lot, but I definitely just go through waves in general. Like, that's my personality. Is like, 1 minute I'll be Whitney's asleep over there now, but she can back that. It's like, 1 minute it's like, yeah, that was super fun and who cares, I missed him. And then an hour later I'll just be like, I think of the South Dakota buck that I miss with Keith. Right when I miss him, I turn to Keith and I get this stupid smile on my face and I high five. I'm like, that was awesome. And then an hour later, like right after meet up with you, I sit there and think about it. And I'm like, well, this would be a lot more fun if my tag was just filled and we could just focus on filling Jake's now. But instead, so then you have that moment. But then a little bit later, you're like, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, and it just kind of goes back and forth. But
yeah.
I think it just kind of depends on the situation, too. Sometimes there's times where you miss one and you're like, yeah, I messed that up big time. And then there's other times where you're like, eh, that was dumb. Mm-hmm. Move on. Whatever.
Yep.
I don't know. Kind of like your one the other day.
Yep. Now we can end and say, what the hell just happened? How did I do that? Oh, well,
tell that I'm one real right quick. Okay. It's just too funny. All right,
so me and Ted are slipping into this field, and we just hunted there that morning. There's four longbeards in there. One of them is an outlier that keeps getting run off by the three.
And you had seen them before you went back
yes,
in, right?
Yes, before we went in there, we saw three longbeards together right where we'd been sitting that morning. So we're like, all right, we know exactly where they're at. We're going to jump in this ditch, crawl in there at about 100 yards, pop up on the edge, call, and they're going to come right to us. It'll be perfect. They're gobbling, and we can hear another bird, which I'm assuming was this lone bird gobbling across the field. So, like, these birds are up ahead of us, and this one by himself is off to our right as we're moving. And we even stopped at one point. And we're glassing. I told Ted, I said, I think he's over that rise out there. He's not up here on this edge. He's like, yeah, I think so too. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm just all way too worked up in the moment. And we're slipping through this like waist high grass in this creek bottom. And as I'm slipping, I had the gun like halfway at the ready. I just look over to my right because the field edge is like 15 yards away, tops. And there's a longbeard just standing right there. And we noticed each other at the same time, so he just got his head up real high. And I might have said to Ted, longbeard right here. So I just spin on a dime. And as I spin, he starts running. And I didn't even follow. Like, I didn't even try to lead him. I just shot where he had been standing. Because I just got, like, I don't know, it was so reactive. It just come over me. I was like, gotta shoot. And I just spun and shot. And then immediately I turned to the camera, to Ted, and I pulled my face mask down and said, I have no idea why I just did that. I don't even know what happened. I don't know what came over me. And then I just pulled my face mask back up and went right back into the hunt. And I just crawled up to the field edge. So I think we see those turkeys still strutting, you know, 200 yards away. So then we just slip up the 50 yards to the tree we wanted to sit on, and then we sat there and killed one an hour and a half later.
It's so funny, too, because he tells us that story. And the first thing that I always think of when I'm telling people about turkey hunting and how, like, we don't load our guns is a big issue for some people. The reason that I think the number one reason we don't load our guns is multiple people.
Yeah.
Hanging out with multiple people with loaded guns, just safety aspect. The other thing is I'd say
it'll keep you from making that decision right there. It'll stop me from shooting.
That and also
100%.
You kind of want it to go a certain way, and especially filming and everything. And I guess at this point, for me at least, it's like jump shooting a turkey,
there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not really how I want it to go, which is funny, which is the funniest part, because I know that's probably the case for you and exactly why you said, I don't know why I just did that.
Yeah, I did. Did not want it to go that way. I was expecting us to slip up there and then just be like in the nest with them right off the bat and then just go, I mean,
and then have it go down the way it did.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
And that's what I was expecting. So I was ready for it, you know, slipping in there with the gun loaded and everything. And then it just, it got away from me.
Something come over you.
It just come over me. I don't know what happened. And I was like, I have no idea why I just threw $10 out for that food. And didn't even put a good $10 on him. Because I knew, when I pulled the trigger, I knew I wasn't going to hit him. I wasn't going to kill him. Because you ever do that, like, you know you weren't going to kill him, but he's just already gone, and I'm too committed at this point. You know?
You've already started your progression.
Yeah, I already got through my progressions. And, you know, it's just a good funny one I had to look back on.
It was luckily, so fast that when I got the camera up there and started recording, the first clip is just dust coming up off the field.
So he said, I don't know why I just did that. And within 30 seconds, he's right back to hunting. And that's the funniest part. I mean, the whole thing's hilarious. So anyway, I think with that, we'll wrap it up.
And that's
don't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't miss.
Don't miss.
Just be better than you are.